First, our next guest says the problem with welfare programs is that they encourage people to not work, but he's got an idea that he says rewards gainful employment while still being compassionate. It's called universal basic income. Essentially, you get a check from the government each month, but no other public assistance benefits, so you have to get a job in most cases in order to earn enough money to make ends meet. Our guest makes the case that Wisconsin should try this out on a limited scale as an experiment. Mike McCabe is the founder of Blue Jean Nation and former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be with you, Rob.
Well, before we get to the idea of the universal basic income, which has been tried in some places around the world, what do you see as wrong with public assistance as it exists today?
Well, the welfare programs that we've had for a very long time and we spend a great deal of money on do have a disincentive to work. You have to be poor to get the help, and then you have to stay poor to keep the help. And there are always going to be these, you know, these eligibility thresholds that are established. And so if you're working, you inevitably come to a moment when earning one more dollar will lose you far more than that. Earning that extra dollar will make you ineligible for the assistance. You lose it. So you're actually better off if you cut back on your hours. You're better off not working. And you know, the idea of universal basic income takes away that disincentive. It rewards work and basically says you can climb the ladder and then just keep right on climbing. You don't have that disincentive to work. And so it's a way to sort of move away from or move beyond welfare as we've known it, encourage work, but also address the reality that we're now going through deindustrialization in this country, and an awful lot of workers are watching their employment automated out of existence, and that's creating enormous stress, and of course that's one of the big factors behind America's growing mental health crisis.
So in a recent piece you wrote in the Capital Times, you say, let's experiment. What do you want to try?
Well, I don't think we should bite off more than we can chew. So we can start small with a very small scale experiment in Wisconsin just to see how this works. You know, Wisconsin has had a reputation as a policy pioneer. When we went through the Industrial Revolution and people left the land and moved to cities to work in factories, that of course prompted a response to deal with the trauma that came with that Industrial Revolution, and Wisconsin led the way. Wisconsin was the first state to create unemployment compensation, workers' compensation for those injured in the workplace, the first state to create child labor laws. Social Security was invented here to create a financial stability for senior citizens. Wisconsin led the way, and you know, now that we're going through deindustrialization and robots are here and there are more on the way and driverless vehicles are coming and there's going to be millions of people who drive for a living who are going to watch that employment disappear, we need to start thinking now about how we respond to this new economy that's emerging. And so what I've suggested is start small, just a very small-scale experiment, maybe 1,000 participants. And if the basic income is $1,000 a month, we're talking $12 million a year. And in a state budget that's close to $80 billion, that is a tiny drop in the bucket, very easy to finance, doesn't require tax increases. And then we can see what happens. Do people continue to work? Do they work more? Are they maybe leaving dead end jobs and deciding to pursue a dream to start a new business or to take a risk and that could really benefit the economy and many other workers by doing so? What's the effect of it? And then if it really has a beneficial effect, you can look at expanding it. If it doesn't have the desired effect or actually backfires, then you go no further. And it's a very low risk, extremely affordable kind of experiment that could give us some insight about how we might respond to the deindustrialization that we're going through, and the effects that that has, and the stress that that produces for so many workers who used to work in factories but have watched their jobs give way to robots, or those many people driving who perhaps won't have employment once the driverless vehicles are upon us. It's a way to respond to all of these changes in our economy.
We're talking to Mike McCabe, founder of Blue Jean Nation, about his idea. He says we should experiment with the idea of universal basic income here in Wisconsin with a small-scale starter project. And Mike, to clarify, these 1,000 people, or however many it ends up being, they would get this $1,000 a month. They would get it if they work a minimum wage job, if they make $100,000 a year or more. Their actual income doesn't matter, right?
Correct. And, you know, I think one of the benefits to having the program be universal is that it removes the stigma that comes with receiving welfare payments, for example. And that's been a driving force behind division and animosity toward low-income people in our society. There's a stigma attached to receiving those benefits. Not only is there a disincentive to work because you have to be poor to get the help and stay poor to keep the help, but then there's this stigma that gets attached to receiving that money, and you end up being looked down upon or even attacked by others in society. This steers clear of that. And one of the things that it would do is if all you can find out there is low-wage work, it allows you to do that work without falling into poverty. We've got so many people who are in the ranks of the working poor who go to work every day. They're working sometimes 2 and 3 jobs, and yet they can't get themselves above the poverty line because the work they find pays such dismal wages. So this creates an economic foundation that they can stand on, a platform that they can stand on, start climbing the ladder, and then they can just keep on climbing. They never reach that point where there's suddenly a disincentive to work, where they have to cut back their hours or risk losing help.
Now let's talk about the people at the bottom end of the economic spectrum and how this would work. Would they then no longer get, I don't know, food aid, health care assistance from the government, child care assistance? Is everything else off the table?
That's what the experiment should be about. And one of the things there certainly should be part of the test group should be people who would get that basic income and then would be free to go out there and work and earn as much as they can. But they wouldn't be eligible for other forms of public assistance. You could design the test so that some people would at least perhaps be eligible for some help with health care or other things. But that's exactly why a small-scale experiment makes sense, is that you could begin to test this kind of thing to see how effective could this be at moving us beyond welfare as we've known it. How effective would it be at encouraging work? How effective would it be at helping people be more attentive to family or to take risks at perhaps bettering themselves by acting on that dream that they've always had, the idea that they've had for starting a new business, but they never felt like they were financially in a position to pursue that dream because they were just trying to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads? Would this end up liberating people in a way that could actually stimulate the economy and make us all better off? You know, that's exactly the kind of thing that we need to explore. What we've had is an awful lot of years with the system as we currently have it, but our economy is changing so radically. And so many people are watching good employment, good paying, family supporting jobs automated out of existence. And what they're left with is they're going out there trying to find, you know, service sector jobs that pay sub living wages, and they're trying to make ends meet, and they're struggling to like crazy. And of course, that produces stress and ends up with, and we end up with a mental health epidemic on our hands. We've got to think creatively about how to respond to these changes in our economy. I'd like to see Wisconsin lead the way in this country. There's been no state in America that's had such a statewide experiment. I'd love to see Wisconsin become the first.
We're talking about our guest call to experiment with the idea of a universal income program in Wisconsin. Mike McCabe is the founder of Blue Jean Nation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? How do you think about giving people $1,000 a month? This would be regardless of their income, but replacing most, maybe all, other forms of public assistance with that. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're talking about the idea of a universal income as a possible replacement for public assistance programs. Mike McCabe is with us, founder of Blue Jean Nation. He wrote an opinion piece about this, proposing an experiment, a limited experiment with this here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have for our guest about how this might work and the benefits and possible complications of it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll go to our callers. Ted is with us in Gordon. Ted, hi.
Hi. My first question is, since you are proposing $1,000 a month to maybe 1,000 people, regardless of income, that'll bring down the number you're actually setting to those closer to poverty or on welfare, clearly a couple hundred or so. Is that enough to come to any conclusions that are scientifically valid? And is there a control group to compare what happens to people without the stipend of $1,000 a month?
Thanks for the call, Ted. So a small portion of this 1,000 might be those people who are currently receiving public assistance. Mike, can we really learn that much?
Well, you can design the experiment any way you want, and you can make more of the people who are part of the experiment, people who have received public assistance or who are low-income people who perhaps are in low-wage employment right now. All I'm trying to do is try to start the conversation and get people thinking about whether it's worthwhile to pursue such an experiment. If lawmakers decided that this is something that they were willing to explore, then you know, people could be brought in to design the experiment. It certainly wouldn't be something that I would expect to design single-handedly. This is something that a lot of people would need to be involved in, and it can be set up in any way you like. There was a time in Wisconsin, or there was a time in America, where there was no Social Security for senior citizens, where there was no unemployment compensation for those who became jobless, or no workers' compensation for those who were injured in the workplace. And when those programs were first imagined, there were a lot of people who said, well, how the heck would that work? But we worked through those questions, and those policies were developed, and of course, they've become fixtures in the American economy and in American life. And they were responses to the last time that we went through a what amounts to an economic revolution, the Industrial Revolution. Well, we're going through another economic revolution now, and it is all about robotics and artificial intelligence and automation, and that is going to significantly affect not only the American economy but working people in this country. Well, we need to at least think creatively about how we might respond to that. And I think what makes sense is to start now, so that we can design experiments that will help us understand how this policy would work and what effects it would have on people, and whether it would be worthwhile to pursue on a broader scale, rather than wait until all of the people, the millions of Americans who drive for a living, have been replaced by driverless vehicles, and all the factory workers have pretty much been replaced by robots, and wait until we've got people who are really facing economic trauma before we begin to act.
Let's go back to our calls. Thanks for calling in, Ted. Chris is with us in Milwaukee. Chris, hello.
Hi. The idea, I love the UBI. I've been telling people about it for years. I love it, but you cannot take away benefits from poor people and replace it with the UBI, because the UBI is going to go to you no matter what you do, how much you make. So if you don't penalize rich people, you cannot go penalizing the poor people. So you have to work out those social things differently. But that UBI has to just go, and so if that poor person is getting $600 a month now, you have to throw that $1,000 on top of the $600. You can't take the $600 away because you're not taking money away from wealthier people.
Chris, thanks for the call. So Mike, she says people at the lower end take a hit before they get the benefit. People at the top just get the benefit in this change.
Well, yeah, obviously, if you implemented a system like this on at full scale, the cost would be significant, and I think the cost would be paid for with a progressive tax, expecting those who are wealthiest or who have the greatest ability to pay to pay more. So there could very well be that cost to the richest in our society. And I really think that that a small-scale experiment should explore these very questions. What would happen if you provided this sort of basic income with no eligibility threshold, so that as people worked and continued to work, they would never reach that point where they would have to cut back on their hours to keep the assistance? What would happen there? Would it be possible to be a replacement? And you know, would people end up being better off, or would they be no better off or worse off? And what, depending on what that test run showed, that would be what you base a decision to expand the program on. You don't go any further unless this looks like it has the ability to be really beneficial. But I tell you, when you look at most people out there who don't have a high level of education or have watched factory jobs automated out of existence, for example, a lot of them are just trying to make ends meet by working low-wage jobs, and sometimes two or three of them, and yet they still can't keep themselves above poverty. What would happen there if they had $1,000 a month to start with, and then had the low-wage job or two, and they could build on that? I think they would be so much better off. Well, that's exactly what we would want to find out. Would this be something that would truly boost people who are currently very economically vulnerable? If it would, and it would create more economic stability and financial security for very vulnerable workers as we go through deindustrialization, then this could be something that would be a real policy innovation along the lines of those innovations that we saw Wisconsin make when we were going through the Industrial Revolution, from unemployment compensation and workers' compensation all the way to Social Security for seniors.
We're talking to Mike McCabe. He says Wisconsin should try an experiment with universal income. Let's go back to our callers. Diane is with us in Barron. Diane, hello.
Yeah, hi. I had already given my statement. This is the first time I called in. I didn't realize that you go on the air later. In any case, I'm very opposed to this proposal in that, one, you start with a small group, great, it's not going to cost much, but if it expanded, it's you know, potentially a huge amount of money, you know, that taxpayers are, again, going to be responsible or liable for. And the working poor and these vulnerable workforce, you know, people, families are getting assistance or qualifying for assistance because they qualify. They're in the poverty level. I know so many people, individuals and families, that work 40 hours a week plus and still qualify for help because our employers are not paying a living wage. And until we fix that, the robotics and all this, you know, talk about our jobs being replaced with
I'm going to jump in, Diane, because we don't have too much time left. Mike, she says, no, let's have a living wage for people working those low-wage jobs.
Oh, I absolutely agree that there needs to be a living wage established. And And you know, it's been a long time since the minimum wage was increased to really keep pace with the cost of living. So there's no question that that makes perfect sense. But again, we've established what's been described as a safety net for people. You know, a whole patchwork of programs, and they cost a great deal of money, and it's all paid for by us taxpayers. But it does have in there a disincentive to work, because once you reach a certain threshold of income, you no longer are eligible. And so people do routinely get to that threshold and have to decide whether they cut back on their hours or whether they sort of go it alone and try to make it without that help. And you know, with so many people in a vulnerable position economically, it seems to me that we've got to at least think creatively about how to better use our resources to address those needs, to try to remove the stigma of public assistance, to try to remove disincentives to work.
Mike, I want to jump in our last minute to run this by you. James on Facebook writes, "It's an idea with merit, but ultimately it's not compatible with American culture yet." In our last 40 seconds or so, Mike, what do you say?
Well, I think probably there were people who said the very same thing when Social Security was developed, that was not in keeping with American culture and workers' compensation and unemployment compensation. But when conditions reached a point where the elderly were the poorest segment of the American population, Social Security was enacted and has become a real American institution. And these other kinds of responses to the Industrial Revolution also became really embedded in American life. And you know, America has to continue to evolve, and we have to change with the times. We have to address changing conditions. We are going through an economic revolution right now. We've got to think creatively about how to deal with it.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Mike McCabe, founder of Blue Jean Nation. We talked with him about his call for making Wisconsin a testing ground and experiment for universal basic income.